Dear brothers and sisters, to receive healing, answers to prayer, and material blessings in our life of faith is a great blessing. But the greatest blessing is for our heart field to be cultivated into good soil. As we cultivate our hearts into fertile soil, we grow to resemble the Lord, the heart of the Lord. As we plant and nurture goodness, love, and truth in the soil and bear abundant fruit, we can resemble the Lord. In the Bible, Jesus says that, you know, His words, Jesus' words, live within us. And when we live through those words, we can resemble the Lord. We can fully resemble the Lord. Which is why the Lord says, which is why Jesus says that, you know, we and the Lord are one. So God's words, the Lord's words, when we abide by His words and embed them in our hearts, then we can resemble God completely. This is what God truly desires. And it's how you can enjoy internal blessings in the kingdom of heaven. Even if your heart fields haven't become good soil, the God of love still rewards you with blessings when you sow for the kingdom of God. But God is unable to pour out all blessings. But sometimes, you know, you'll see that when you offer up offerings, God blesses you, you know, double or triple the times in material wealth. Sometimes we've got blessings within family or workplaces. So when we give offerings, Father God allows us to harvest with more blessings. But if we do not sow our hearts and cultivate them into good soil, then God cannot bless us as much. So when we cultivate our hearts into good soil, how much more will God bless us? Because our hearts are good soil and we have the ability, the authority to receive those blessings. 30, 60, 100-fold times the blessings is not something that we can receive if we do not cultivate our hearts into good soil. It's a great blessing. You know, Pastor Emeritus used to say that back in the day, these days we buy certain, you know, items in the supermarkets and we can weigh them properly with an electric scale. And a lot of times they're pre-weighed and they sell it per kilo. But back in the day, Pastor Emeritus used to say that they didn't have those electric scales, so they would use manual scales with plates that they didn't really tear off. And when people used to buy rice in Korea, they would just kind of roughly put rice in the bucket without shaking it. And just putting it onto the scale to sell. Because when you shake rice in a bucket and you keep banging it on the table, the rice settles. It removes the air and the empty spaces. So you can actually end up filling more rice into the bucket. But back in the day, the vendors didn't do that. So in a way, you were almost paying more for less. And it's the same with our spiritual lives. God looks at us, and when He sees Christians, you know, being fervent and zealous, sometimes God is sad or has, you know, feelings because God wants us to offer more with our hearts. Not just with our actions, with our volunteering service, but with more of our offerings to God with all our hearts. So the more you offer with your heart, the more God can give back in return and give you blessings. If we cultivate our hearts of good soil, how much more blessings would God pour out? Sometimes, you know, we've got Christians that have offered up to God, but perhaps not with their whole hearts, or perhaps there are some barriers. But God remembers all of that. God almost saves them. So when you cultivate your hearts into good soil, God can give back all that He saved into 30, 60, 100 times as much. So I pray in the name of the Lord that you will all diligently cultivate your heart fields so that both what you've sown before and what you will sow afterward may bear abundant fruit and overflow with testimonies of blessings. Last week, we looked at the good soil. Let's look at the characteristics of good soil. First, unlike the path-like soil, good soil is soft. The hardened path-like soil cannot receive God's word because of self-righteousness, fixed thoughts, and wickedness. But the heart of good soil receives all of God's words well. Second, the heart of good soil has no stones. There's no untruth that hinders following the word. Whatever word you hear, you don't stop at hearing, but obey with amen and yes. No matter the trial, tribulation, or persecution, you act according to the word of God. Third, the good soil has no thorns. So when you hear God's word, it's easy to obey as is. You don't rely on any fleshly thoughts. This is because the good soil has uprooted thorns, which are worldly worries and greed for wealth, and removed the desires of the flesh from the heart. If you look at the righteous people in the Bible, they don't, you know, use fleshly thoughts when God commands. They simply obey. And sometimes when they obey God's words, there are times where it seems like it's disadvantageous to you or harmful to you, just like Daniel. You know, when Daniel prayed to God, if you think about it, he would be, you know, it's definite that if you pray to God that you will be imprisoned and thrown in the lion's den. However, you know, if you think about it, if you were to obey God's words, it would be harmful to your life, life-threatening. Daniel didn't use fleshly thoughts. And some people with fleshly thoughts, they'll think, oh, would this not glorify God because you get imprisoned and, you know, get thrown in the lion's den? However, Daniel didn't use fleshly thoughts. He didn't use earthly ways. And even though it seemed disadvantageous or harmful to his life at the time, what was worse was to not obey God's command. And Daniel didn't want that. Daniel didn't want to disobey God's command. So even though it seems difficult or, you know, hard at the time, he obeyed God's word. As there's no flesh in the heart of good soil, you understand the meaning of the word completely. Sometimes you don't understand the word completely, but when you obey, afterwards you can understand the meaning of the word completely. And as you continuously do that, you'll end up understanding the word more quickly. So when the good soil can clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and discern and obey God's heart and will. So whatever you eat, drink, or do, you do it solely for the glory of God and without selfish motives. It's why the good soil reaps abundant fruit according to what they've sown and acted. Have you checked how much your heart field has turned into good soil? Let's look at three things necessary to cultivate your heart into good soil. If you faithfully and consistently practice these three areas, your heart field can turn into good soil. So you might think, you know, these three areas are extremely difficult, but when you listen to it, it's actually easy. You know, so when you hear these three areas, I hope you can look back on yourself and check how you've lived your life so far. Don't, you know, there's no point if you end up acting upon these three areas, but then stop, and then act, and then stop, and then act. There's no point. You need to continue to go forwards and not stop. The first is worship in spirit and in truth before God. When God first created Adam, his heart was like good soil. But the moment Adam disobeyed God's word and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his heart turned into barren land. Adam left Eden, the spiritual realm, and came to live in this world, the earthly realm. From then on, Adam was unable to commune with God. Yet God opened a way for Adam to communicate with him once again, and that was through sacrifices. Through sacrifices, God's people were able to commune, though in a limited way, with the holy and perfect God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob built altars before the Lord and had fellowship with him. So if you look at the forefathers of faith, you know, these people had great fellowship with God, but still offered sacrifices to God, you know, sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. We can see that through people like Abraham. Solomon also met God in a dream and received great blessings when he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. The people of Israel received cleansing from the sins that hindered their communion with God through sacrificial offerings. They were also set apart as God's people and received His guidance. They didn't, you know, say that God, you know, purposely made them to lead them and guide them and not offer sacrifices in order to, you know, be set apart that they were God's people. They offered those sacrifices of offerings. Today we no longer offer sacrifices, but give worship. Jesus spoke about the new form of sacrifice, which is worship, as follows. The former part of John 4, verse 23 records, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." "Now is" refers to the time after the Lord's resurrection and ascension, when the Holy Spirit comes and begins His ministry. Jesus offered Himself as the atoning sacrifice and reconciled mankind to God. With a single offering, He redeemed humanity from sin. Since then, God's children began to worship in spirit and truth instead of offering the blood sacrifices of animals. Through this, a clearer way of communion was opened with God, who originally created Adam with a heart of good soil. Jesus became the atoning sacrifice Himself. Before then, you know, people, mankind were unable to completely communicate and have communion and fellowship with God. They must have a sacrificial offering. And what they had to offer was an animal, not just any animal, but an animal chosen by God, an animal suitable, appropriate as an offering to God. And that way they could achieve communion with God. And Jesus, our Lord, became the atoning sacrifice in order to become the offering, the atoning sacrifice for all of mankind, so that when we believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and when we come before God and worship in spirit and in truth, we can receive that blessing of having communion with God. You know, if we only just believe and not offer our worship in spirit and truth, that doesn't do anything. It's the same in the Old Testament. You know, if people didn't offer sacrifices at specific times, specific seasonal festivals that God, you know, chose, then, you know, they had no communion with God. It's important to realize that there were special events in the Old Testament where people had to offer up, you know, sacrifices to God. And if they didn't keep that, then they had no part of salvation. They had no relationship with God. And right now, in order to offer up sacrifices, is to offer worship in spirit and in truth. It's not just simply coming to church and sitting at one of the church pews. It's to offer with all our hearts and spirit and truth. And that is a way to receive communion with God, to receive grace and blessings, and cultivate our heart fields to truly commune with God through worship. Jesus taught us how to truly in John 4 verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit. You can only commune with him when you worship in spirit and truth. To worship in spirit means to worship from the heart, together with the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. And to worship in truth means to worship with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's a difference. You know, to worship in spirit is with the Holy Spirit. And worship in truth is with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's when you can receive God's word as spiritual food under the inspiration and fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's, you can do anything when you have communion and when you live a Christian life with the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. It's 1,000 times more effective than receiving help from, say, a pastor or another church leader around you. Don't ignore, don't neglect the Holy Spirit. You must live in faith with the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit. You must communicate with the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit. It's the same when you worship. You must do so with the Holy Spirit. And that way you can, you know, accept and receive grace from all the sermons that you listen to in the worship. To offer every part of the worship, prayer, praise, offerings, is to do so with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with joy and the fragrance of thanksgiving from a heart that truly loves God. So when you do so, you can quickly recover a heart of good soil through the help of the Holy Spirit. So you might ask, how do you worship with the Holy Spirit? Well, you can do so when you act, put in the effort to worship in spirit and in truth with appropriate posture, with appropriate heart. When you do so with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then the Holy Spirit will move. You'll be inspired and be full of the Holy Spirit. This is the order. You need to put in the effort first. So when you listen to the Gospel of Holiness, you hear how to offer, how to worship in your posture, how you sit. You shouldn't, you know, fall asleep. You need to not have fleshly thoughts and you know, debate in your head whether, oh, you know, these words are right or these words aren't right. You need to simply obey God's words. And that way the Holy Spirit can move and allow you to receive the words in spirit and in truth. It's the same with prayer, praise, and offerings, all parts of your Christian life. Let's look at your praise life. If you, you know, it's praising just because, and praising with all your heart, soul, and mind is completely different. You know, when you just praise just because, God doesn't hear it. God doesn't, you know, accept it. You don't just praise to make yourself feel good. I mean, that's what worldly people do. You know, when you listen to pop music. But when you praise, and you praise to God, God receives your heart. So even if you're completely tone deaf or, you know, you're not a very good singer, God still accepts your heart's fragrance. No matter how good you are at praising, you know, no matter how good you are at singing, God doesn't accept it if your heart's fragrance isn't there. Just because you sing, you know, I love you, Lord, doesn't mean God accepts it without your heart's fragrance. And some people, they, you know, shed tears when they praise. And yeah, God might say, yes, you know, I can see that and I can accept that. But if you do the same week after week, but, you know, throughout your whole life, you live a life where it has nothing to do with God. You live in life in sin and with the world. And you just shed tears simply because of the title of the praise song or because you're embarrassed. You're living in sin, then God cannot accept that week after week, day after day. You know, in the world, you've got music that's, you know, that when you listen to it or when you sing worldly music, that you receive peace or, you know, you feel happy. There are times, there are certain musical types, genres, where you can feel at peace. But you can't do that with praise. You need to praise with all your heart. When you praise with all your heart, you can receive the strength to live by God's will. You can receive the strength to get cast off sin. But if you simply just open your mouth and sing, then it doesn't, you know, the heart's fragrance, it doesn't get lifted up towards God. God doesn't like that. The speed at which your heart is cultivated differs between those who worship in spirit and truth and those who do not. For example, hearing a sermon with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit makes it easier to understand what kind of heart is like good soil. So when you listen to these words, you know, when you're full of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then you can understand these. Just, you know, you can't, it's not easy to understand these words of holiness, this gospel of holiness, simply because you're good at understanding words. You need the Holy Spirit. So that way the Holy Spirit can tell you, you know, things to change, things to reflect upon. It's easier to discern the condition of your heart feel through the word. When deep inspiration comes, you become aware of the state of your heart. And sometimes stones or thorns are uprooted. Don't misunderstand that, you know, by listening to the sermon once, that stones and thorns will get uprooted. It's not that. It's not like that. You need to listen to the sermon with inspiration of the Holy Spirit and put in the effort. You need to pray. You need to praise. You need to fast and put in the effort. Wouldn't it be great if God's grace was poured upon us just like a flood? You know, if we were to be flooded by God's grace. But if we don't prepare ourselves and we don't offer up in spirit and in spirit and in truth, and just worship great once, doesn't mean you're going to get flooded with the grace of God. You need to put in the effort day by day, week by week, month by month, in praise, in prayer, in fasting, you know, in action. And then one day, it'll be, you know, a miraculous time where the stones get broken, they get removed, or the thorns get uprooted during a sermon or, you know, during your Christian life. And so it's important to check how true you're worshiping in spirit and in truth. When you worship in spirit and truth, worship time becomes a joy. Listening to the word, offering praise and prayer is wonderful. You begin to look forward to worship and prepare your heart in advance. During worship, you listen attentively to not miss a single word. No distracting or fleshly thoughts can enter naturally, so you don't doze off. Even if you're tired, you become filled with the Holy Spirit and overcome the fatigue. When you watch, you know, your favorite movie or an exciting movie or play your favorite game, you don't fall asleep. even if you rub your eyes, you still put in the effort to not fall asleep. So when you praise, you pour your heart into the lyrics. When you pray, you pray earnestly and sincerely. You also gladly give offerings with sincerity at every worship. Your eyes shine differently along with your posture. If there's any part of you not worshiping in spirit and truth, I hope you'll refocus. Those who worship in spirit and truth continue their worship in their daily lives. Romans 12 verse 1, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. People offer their entire lives as a living sacrifice. When you worship in spirit and truth, the word you hear is engraved in your heart. That word becomes alive and active in life. It comes to mind throughout the day, making it easier to live according to the word. And as you live by the word, you begin to experience its power. Through worship, you become filled with the Holy Spirit and live each day offering the fragrance of joy and thanksgiving. Your heart field cannot help but be cultivated. You know, sometimes back in the day, at school, there are times where you've got 50 or 60 kids in one classroom in Korea. And in that class, those 50, 60 students in class listen to the same, you know, topic, whether it's English or maths or science. But there are still rankings. Well, there were in Korea. And when I went to school back in the day years ago, we didn't really have, you know, separate tutoring sessions after school. And when you hear about my school days, you might think, oh, you know, you didn't have to study that much at school. You know, you could go to tutoring, which is the norm in Korea right now. But back when I was young, we didn't have extra tutoring lessons after school. Your rankings, you know, how well you did at school really were based off how well you listened in class, in your lessons, and how much you did your homework and studied and practiced in class. And if you were to sleep or doze off or, you know, not concentrate in class, and you'd lose the lesson, you'd lose the information. It's the same in church. It's the same with sermons, with your worship. When you worship in spirit and in truth, then you have the ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive more, you know, inspiration and more refinement. When I was in school, there was a student, a classmate, where, you know, we clashed. And I had to work with this classmate because we had projects. But I had to continuously work with them and see them. But we still clashed. And I felt uncomfortable with my classmate, with this single classmate. And, you know, I would pray, I would worship at church. And then one day, I thought to myself that I didn't really like having these uncomfortable feelings. I didn't want to clash with this classmate. And when I was at church, I heard a sermon where Pastor Emeritus said, you know, breaking peace was not just one person's problem. It's both. You know, it takes two to tango. And that became a huge revelation to me, because when I was at school and I clashed with that classmate, I kept thinking it's the other person's fault, the student's fault. You know, I kept thinking, you know, this kid's like this, you know, this kid's too, you know, mean or you know, bossy or stingy or whatnot. I had all these thoughts about the other person, and I kept praying to be able to understand the classmate. I didn't look back on myself. I just kept praying to God to help me understand the other classmate. But when I listened to Pastor Emeritus's sermon, I had a huge revelation. Like, you can't make a noise with one hand when you clap. You clap with both hands. So, it was a huge revelation because I just kept blaming the other classmate. I didn't look back on myself. So through those words of holiness, I put in the effort to transform myself. Of course, despite my realization on the day, it doesn't mean that I was able to achieve peace straight away. It took time, but it's still a great harvest for you to able to understand that this is a thorn, that you are blaming only the other person in order to have this reveal. It was a huge, blessing. So when you use that revelation to pray and look back on yourself and put in the effort and realize and accept that it's also your fault that you were breaking peace, not just the other person's fault, then that's the start of uprooting your thorns. So use this time to cultivate your heart field into good soil. And at this church, every single sermon looks at, breaking and getting rid of sin, looks at rebuking at least one type of sin. So when you worship without dozing off, when you worship in spirit and in truth, then you can be transformed quickly. When I was having a conversation with Pastor Myung Lee, my older sister, she said that when she had difficulties or, were in times of hardship when she was young, she would have a photo of her dad, of our dad. And I realized that that was me in a way during service time. When I was in the Sunday school meetings, there were many children, and there were many people in the Sunday school service who didn't know that I was, Senior Pastor Jaywat Lee's daughter. Of course, people who were at the church for a long time would know, but perhaps some of the new teachers or new students, to the point where some of the teachers would say, a Sunday school teachers would say, "Oh, we've got Senior Pastor Jaywat Lee's daughter at our Sunday school meeting," but they didn't know who I was. I would just naturally care for other students, as the pastor's daughter as well. And in our previous churches, not our last one, but the one before that, we had three floors. And our main sanctuary was the third floor. And as a student, I would offer the service in one of the floors, and we would listen to the service via TV, because we weren't in the main sanctuary. So as a child, I loved my dad, and in order to see him, we would really just have to wait until Friday night. Why? Because our pastor emeritus Jaywat Lee would go to the prayer mountains and pray and prepare and offer up his life before God for God's service. And, our dad would come back on Friday, come back home and be in his study area. But it doesn't mean that I'd knock on his door and say hi, because just in case he was preparing for the Friday all-night service, I would wait until, say, Friday night dinner time. Then that's when I'd say hi, we'd catch up a little bit, but we didn't have a lot of time because during the Friday night dinner time, there are times where the church leaders would come and have meetings. So really, the time I would be able to see my dad was on TV on Sundays. And even though Sundays were more so as a senior pastor, as opposed to a father, I still was able to consider that time as, you know, time spent together. So I spent my time as a child throughout my years at school, you know, to consider Sunday worship as precious. And I look back on myself and consider all that time I spent worshiping in spirit and in truth on those Sundays, time that was spent, you know, embedding the God's word in my heart. You know, you need to look back on yourself and use the morning service and the evening service words as time for reflection. You know, use the time where you come to church for Daniel prayer meetings, a time to reflect upon, you know, all the sermons that you've listened to that week, and use that as a basis for your prayers. So through God's word, you need to pray. Don't just pray whatever you want. You need to pray according to God's word. That way you can cultivate your hearts and become sanctified more quickly. I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you will offer 52 weeks of worship in spirit and truth each year so that your heart can be cultivated into good soil.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.